I've been thinking about something that you don't usually think about. I've been thinking about breath. We don't think about breath, we just breathe. One breath, an inhalation, plus an exhalation, takes about 3 seconds for an average adult. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but I'm about to do some math with you folks today. If it takes 3 seconds to breathe in and breathe out, then we can breathe about 20 times per minute. The math actually isn't that hard, if you happen to have a calculator handy. Since there are 60 minutes in an hour, 20 times 60 equals 1,200 breaths per hour. Multiply this by 24, since there are 24 hours in a day, and you get 28,800 breaths per day. And we can continue this process, can't we? 28,800 times 365, which is the amount of days we have in a year, equals 10,512,000 breaths a year. Now, according to the World Health Organization, the average human lifespan on planet Earth is 71.4 years. So, let us multiply 10,512,000 times 71.4, and the result is, are you ready for this? 7,550,556,800 breaths in an average human lifespan. That's a lot of breaths. It's a good thing that we don't have to concentrate on our breath in order to breathe, because if that was the case, we would spend our entire lives thinking about breathing and have no time left for anything else. As it is, we don't have to think about breathing. We can simply take it for granted. And yet there is literally nothing, nothing more essential to human life than breathing. We may have more than 7 billion breaths, but we need all of them. According to Mr. Google, if you stop breathing for 6 minutes, you can probably be resuscitated. But if you stop breathing for 7 minutes, it is most likely the case that you will die. Now, if we go back to our math, again, I'm not a mathematician, but this math is quite simple. If we breathe 20 times a minute, then 6 times 120 is, I'm sorry, 6 times 20 is 120, right? 120 breaths. We can spare 120 breaths. But if you go to 140, to 7 minutes, we can't spare that. We can't spare 140 breaths. 140 breaths. Last Sunday, as all of you know, we blessed and dedicated the quilts that were gathered for the first time together, and it was quite an experience. As I was developing the liturgy for the blessing of the quilts, I started thinking about breath. I started thinking about breath, of course, because the words on the quilts were often about breath. Well, I don't need to tell you all this, but of course, while Mr. Floyd was dying, he was begging. He said, "I can't breathe," over and over again. And as you know, this phrase, "I can't breathe," has become the rallying cry for the Black community in our country. Because these words were not only the words of George Floyd, but also the words of Eric Garner, and they were the last words of Javier Ambler, and of Manuel Ellis, and of Elijah McCain. According to a 2020 report by the New York Times, this phrase was used by over 70 people who have died in police custody. In the book of Genesis, when God creates humans from the ground, God must do something to give this new creature life. God wants to give this new creature life, and God wants to make this new creature in God's own image. So God must do something with this new creature. God must do something to give this new creature life and bless it as a sacred thing. What can God do to accomplish this task? Does God implant a diamond into this new creature's heart? No. Does God give this new creature great power to do whatever it wants? No. Does God give this new creature the most wonderful divine ambrosia to drink to make it immortal? Of course not. What does God do? God breathes. God breathes into the creature. And breathing into the creature, God gives it life. God gives it sacredness. God gives us sacredness. Given breath, we are given God's image. To give breath is to give God's image. To take away breath is to take away God's image. To take away breath is to take away sacredness. There is nothing that destroys sacred life more effectively than taking away 140 breaths. That's all you need to take away is 140. Now, Ezekiel was a human being. He was not a god. And yet, in the remarkable passage that we just heard, God gives Ezekiel God-like power. Ezekiel is in a valley that is filled with bones. Old bones, dry bones, dead bones. And God said to Ezekiel, "Mortal, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel said, "O Lord, you know." And then God said to him, "Prophesy to the bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live.'" Through Ezekiel, through a mortal being, God proposes to give life back to the bones, the old bones, the dry bones, the dead bones. So Ezekiel prophesied as he had been commanded, and as he prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone against bone. I love that detail, the rattling of the bones. Amazing. But were the bones alive? No. Ezekiel looked, and there were sinews on the bones, and the flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them. But were they alive? Incredible, but no, they were not alive. Ezekiel himself says so. He says, "But there was no breath in them." Then God said, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, to the breath. Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain, that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. If you look at the history of our country, you quickly recognize that we live in a valley of bones. It's kind of a depressing thing to say, isn't it? And yet, our country was taken from the native peoples, and they died. Many of them. Our country was built on the blood of African slaves. How can we live in such a country? God tells us how. We cannot ignore the bones in the valley. We cannot let them just lie there. We must give them breath. We must give the bones life so that they can speak. Let them testify. And we must be aware that when they testify, they will testify against us. And we must be willing to hear that testimony. And we must give our own breath to that testimony. And when the bones have life, when we begin to come to terms with our history, maybe we can stop taking breath away from people, because God does not take breath away. God gives breath. When we take away breath, we do the opposite of what is divine. Give breath. Don't take it away. When we bless each other, we say, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath, Mark. That's good advice. To give breath is to give voice. And to give voice is to give ear. Listen. Listen to the sound of breath. The sound of blessing, the sound of life. Amen.